We're talking about dreams today, not the ones you see at night, but the dreams that turn into reality. Next step number 793, June 8th, 2024, starts now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Welcome to another episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Here, Father Vazgen provides a distinct and consistent voice for one of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy, and applies it to our life today. Armadoxy! It's a way of life. And no, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, good to have you with us today. Are you sleeping? Are you awake? This is a dream show. It's about dreaming. About dreaming about some big things. You know, a few weeks ago, I shared with you this preposterous notion that we're being given here in the United States. No, it's not a conspiracy theory. No. I know there's enough of those. But the preposterous notion that these octogenarians, yeah, I know one of them's 77, one's 80, but let's round it off. These octogenarians have a vision for the future. Yep, that's what they're saying. The two presidential candidates, Biden and Trump, are going around the country sharing their vision for the future. And I asked you at that time, I said, what vision do you have? What future is that? And is there a time at which we wake up and we said, okay, enough is enough. How about putting people who do have vision, namely children? How about putting people who can dream, who can think of another scenario besides war? And since that time, I've been thinking a lot about it because obviously here in the United States, and I'd love to hear from some of you outside of the United States. Is what we're going through, what we're experiencing here in the United States, is that being played up as news right now? The idea that these two candidates we have, that by the way, we are proclaiming democracy. There was no election for these two candidates. Yeah, that's right. That's right. There was no election. There usually is a primary election where the political parties select their nominees. There was no primary election. Biden was the only choice for the Democrats. Trump won in popular polling, so there was no election for him either. And now we're being given that these two people are basically the candidates. In all of America, what is it, 300, 400 million people in all of America, this is what we've got. And what I'd like to do with you today is share with you my vision, my dream. Yeah, I'm not there. I'm not 80 years old, and I got a little bit of time before we get there. It's not about the age, but I want to share with you some dreams that are very possible. Okay? A lot of times dreamers, including myself, we get accused of being too idealistic, of being up high in the sky. I always think about John Lennon's Imagine. Imagine there's no country. Imagine there's no religion. Imagine there's no heaven. If you could imagine this, there's nothing to fight for. There's nothing to die for. And what's the result? Could there be peace? And I think about this often. You know, okay, well, how do you deal with people who are vicious? How do you deal with people that are pointing a gun at you? Is it okay to say, yeah, go ahead. You know, here's my other cheek. Well, that's what Jesus says, right? And that's what we proclaim. But somehow when we get out there, we call ourselves Christian and we don't follow through. We pick and choose the things that we want, right? The cafeteriaizing. You go there and you say, this dessert looks better than this one, so I'll take that one. This main meal looks more in my style for the way I feel today. I think I feel like that one. I'll take that one. So you walk through this incredible food display, and you pick the ones that make sense for you. And we all do that with Christianity, right? And I know people accuse us of cafeteriaizing. And no, everybody does it. Everybody does it. In fact, the evangelist did it. Matthew took what he wanted to and presented it in his gospel, which is different from the gospel of John. John took what he wanted to. Mark took what he wanted to. And because you have different audiences. And you've got to put together the narrative. You've got to put it together properly. And so when you look at how we deal with fire, and this has been an ongoing metaphor of mine, that we can't continue fighting fire with fire. We have to start fighting fire with a hose. In other words, we need a new narrative. We need a way of saying, this is how we're going to solve the situation. And yeah, we get accused of, hey, you guys are too much pie in the sky. You guys can't possibly believe that, because the end result is even more deaths. We just celebrated the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And when you look at France, you know, occupied by the Nazis, and you had to have a means of getting rid of the Nazis out. Well, what was the entire atomic bomb about? I mean, if recently it's been back in the consciousness of people, because last year there was a movie called Oppenheimer, right? And that's what it was about the atomic bomb. I've been to the Air Force Museum out in Ohio. I think it was close to Dayton, Ohio. If you haven't gone to this, if you're ever out that way, if you haven't gone to this, do see it. It's really, really worth seeing. And there they have a replica of the atomic bomb, and you're sitting there and you're looking at it, and you realize as a result of this bomb, you know, there was something like 50, 60,000 people that were just vaporized. They were killed. It was a torturous death. Their skin was burnt off of them. Yeah. And we did this in the name of what? Preventing more deaths. And there's the vicious game that we play in times of war. Then you get somebody who's a dreamer. You get another dreamer out there, Pope Francis, who's been saying, okay, you need to stop. Negotiate. Is there a way of talking? Is there a way that you can discuss these things? And I guess there is. But we don't want to include that. Like, have you ever just sat around and thought, what's our beef with Russia? What's America's beef with Russia? They're communists. Okay, that's what they're telling us. And so is it possible that communism can have something good about it? Before you start saying that I'm sitting here talking about communism, no, I love being an American. I love the freedoms that we enjoy. I've lived in the Soviet Union. I know what it's about. I've lived there. I know what it's about. But the idea that we cannot talk, we cannot discuss, is foreign to me. That we can't sit down and have a decent conversation. And Putin is saying that Ukraine is a border country, is now flirting with NATO, and we want to prevent that. And we're seeing all the NATO allies line up. Well, you got to walk in their shoes. That's the basic premise of what we believe. Walking in their shoes is empathy. Do you have empathy for them? Okay, so ask yourself, what if I were in their shoes? I have asked that question. We live in the United States. If tomorrow either of the countries that border us, whether it was Mexico or Canada, were flirting with, say, Russia, were flirting with Iran, were flirting with even something like a Lebanon or an Afghanistan, right? Would we just sit very calmly and say, well, go ahead, continue? Or would we park the 7th Fleet outside in the Gulf of Mexico and just say, hey, get back in your place, right? I mean, walk in the shoes of the others. There are reasons for this. And if there are reasons, then there are ways in which we can communicate without escalating war. Because the only thing war will give you is more war. The idea that somehow through war you can get peace is ridiculous. All you're going to do is you're going to incite more hatred from the other side. And you're going to get more hatred, you're going to get more war. And this is the idea of dreaming, of this is what Jesus calls us to do. He tells us, turn the other cheek. In turning the other cheek, what are you doing? You're contemplating that, wait a minute, what is necessary? How do we avoid these kind of issues? How do we avoid these things? Like, where do we draw the line and say we are not animals just to fight each other? But we are human beings and we have reason. We have the capability of sitting down, talking, discussing, putting it out on the table, looking at pros and cons and moving forward. Instead, what we're seeing right now, take Gaza, for instance. Okay, now I understand. Listen, let me start it off. Over 1,000 people were killed on October 7th. Hamas came over and attacked Israel. I understand that, okay? And here it is, 7 months, 8 months later, and now we're looking in the 20s, 30s, 40,000 people. We're looking at hunger in that area, famine in that area, to the tune of 1 million people are there facing starvation. And what are we doing? We level these places. We allow them to level it. We pay for them. We pay for the military might to level these places. And then we go in there and be the nice guy. And we set up a barge with food on it. And we call it humanitarian assistance. So we spend billions of dollars bombing, annihilating, leveling, killing people. And then we come out and we say, let's save you. Let's help you people because some of you are innocent. I mean, how many of those people are innocent? Now I hope you understand that I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about just being human. I'm talking about the Christ call for us to be human. I do not want you for 1 minute to think this is about politics. That's not what I do here. I want us to start thinking about what it means to be human. What it means to talk about life instead of death. Why is everything being defined by people being killed, defined by wars, by killings, one after the other? You know, one of the most beautiful pictures observed by humanity, the author of that picture passed away just a couple days ago. He was the Apollo 8 astronaut, William Anders. He died at the age of 90, and ironically, in a plane crash. He was piloting a plane. You know, here's the astronaut he was on Apollo 8, which was the mission that was the first time a spacecraft had left the orbit of the Earth. And they were orbiting the moon, okay, in preparation for a moon landing. And this was Apollo 8. A couple years later, Apollo 11 would make the moon landing. So in preparation for that, they had left the orbit. And they had told him, take pictures. We want to know what the lunar landscape looks like. So because he passed away, they had some interviews with him, and it was very interesting. What he said is that he had black and white film, and they were looking at the moon. They were looking at the moon, and it was just, you know, gray dust, and they were shooting pictures. And he looked back out the other window, and he saw the Earth rise. He saw the Earth rise. And immediately between him and one of the other astronauts, they loaded up the camera. Instead of black and white film, they loaded up with color film. And he turned it just in time to get a picture, to snap a picture of the Earth rise. I mean, think about that for a moment. I'll put a link on today's show notes. Make sure you check out the picture. If you're only looking at the moon, if you're only looking at the dust, it's okay for you to live in black and white. It's okay for you to just look at that, right? If you're only looking at that. But sometimes you need to go beyond what you're scheduled to do. And that's what he did. He looked away and he saw the earth, that beautiful, beautiful earth rising. And it was such a momentous moment at that time because we had never seen ourselves. This was from outside of our orbit. This was from the moon looking back. And that picture, of course, is iconic now. Later on in Apollo 17, they talked about the blue marble. But the first one was in Apollo 8. It was called the Earthrise. Now, that's what I'm talking about. You need to look beyond. You need to look in another direction. You need to walk away from the narrative which says the only way to peace is through more war. And you know that's wrong. I know that's wrong. Scientists know it's wrong, right? Mathematicians know it's wrong. Because you can't take 1x plus 1x and think it's going to equal 0x. You can't take one war plus one war and think it's going to equal zero wars. No, it's going to equal two wars. There's going to be retaliatory action. At some point, it has to stop. At some point, it has to stop. And believe it or not, Armadoxy has that answer. As wild as it is, there's an answer there. It's given to us by Jesus. It's so simple. And I'm going to share with you that dream, okay? There's two dreams, actually. And I want you to just listen to it. Accept it for what it is. I would love to hear from you if you don't agree with the dream. But you know what? We need to dream. We need to imagine. We need to push ourselves to imagine peace. Again, to quote John Lennon, if enough people wanted peace the way they wanted television sets back in his time, he would say that. Of course, it's kind of obsolete television, right? If enough people wanted peace as much as they wanted television set, we'd have peace. In other words, what do we have? We have a consumer economy. If you want TVs, if there's enough people, you have 1,000 different brands of TV. Imagine having 1,000 brands of peace. Is that so absurd? Is it wrong to say that peace is possible? Impossible. You can't say that's wrong. You've got to be shooting for peace. I mean, the natural flow of energy is to seek its equilibrium, right? That's to be at a peaceful state. Yeah. I mean, we know it. Peace is natural. War is unnatural. And yet we do it. We keep fighting, fighting, fighting. Now, I told you I'm going to share with you a vision or a dream that I have. And this came about in the last couple weeks. And I want to share it with you. I want you to tell me how absurd it is. I don't think it's absurd. I think it's possible. I think it's doable. But it needs a platform. It needs for us to start believing. It needs for us to start dreaming. Now, you know, if you've been listening to the show, you know, right about here, I play a song for you to digest some of the things we said. I'm going to hold off on that, okay? I'm going to go for my dream. I'm going to go for it all. And then you listen. We'll play a song so you can digest it afterwards, okay? So let me share with you a dream and an advice I have for a couple people. And I think that it would really work. It flows into this dream, okay? The first one. Now, we are spending billions of dollars, billions, billions of dollars for war. We're not fighting the war. And we keep saying, oh, we're not going to put ground troops there. But we are supplying weapons. And we talk about weapons of destruction. We don't want to talk about mass destruction, but they are mass destruction, right? When you talk about weapons of mass destruction, what comes to mind is usually the atomic weapons, those things that could, you know, really do some serious major numbers, right? Mass destruction. But you look around Gaza right now, and let me tell you something, it's not a little number. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of energy. You look at what's going on between the Ukraine and Russia. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of death. It's a lot of carnage. And you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say, because as an Armenian, when I look at what happened with the Azeri people, what they did to the Armenians, and when I've been to Yerapalut, I've shared that with you, and you see these young kids who we call soldiers. They're just young kids, you know. You see the just flag after flag after flag draping over the graves of these young kids whose pictures are on there. You got to say, wow, these are kids that will never get older. Is this the best we can do as a civilized society? So what is it? What is that dream? Well, the first one is using that money, that same amount of money, by saying no and saying yes to other projects. Here in California, we are now facing another year of immense heat. We don't have water. We've been in drought situation for the last 30, 40 years. And I know it's cyclical. There'll be times where there's a lot of rain that comes and everything. But we are technically in a drought, and there's always a need for water. Right? In the United States, on the eastern coast, they're going through some severe storms and flooding. They have too much water. We don't have enough water. Now, can we think about how to equalize this? Can we think how to bring? Well, one of the ways you could say is bottle the water and bring it over. Yeah, that might work. But how about a pipeline? How about those billions of dollars being used to construct a pipeline? Put people to work. Have them construct a pipeline that will take the floodwaters and bring them out to the drought areas, California, Nevada, Arizona, so on. You say, that's impossible. Who's going to build a pipeline? Well, they did it for oil. The only difference is that for oil, there's money behind it, right? That's why they did it for oil, right? There's the Alaskan pipeline. It brings oil down. Now you're going to say, who's going to do that for water? Well, think about it. If you're spending 30, 40, 50 billion, that's with a B, dollars, for war, for guns, for weapons, for bombs, and you took that money, right? Yeah, people will do it for money. They will. You hire people. You get the material, and you do it, and you have solutions. Your solutions. Yeah, it's not, am I being too simplistic? Obviously. But that's where you sit down and you negotiate it, you talk about it, and you find means of overcoming these challenges, not by building bigger bombs. We have a border crisis right now, refugee crisis. And you know what surprises me? Most everybody in the United States, the majority of the United States, is here because they were refugees. They came from some other land. They came here, and you know what it says right on the Statue of Liberty at Ellis Island. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. This is part of what America is all about. And now we talk about a border crisis. There's people who want to get in here. Yeah, sure they do. Can we find means of solving these? Well, you need more people. You need more people in jobs that can look at these. Now, how do you do that? Well, if you've got $40 billion to spend on guns, to kill people you don't even know, can we spend a little bit of that to hire people that we don't know as well, but to vet them and see who can come in, how we can do that? Okay, so very easy solutions, right? And like I said, I'm the first one to admit it's simplistic. But I do say that they can be easy. Different, right? Simplistic means there's more complexities to it and you need to figure them out. You can sit down and you can figure them out. But look at what can be resolved if we stop building bombs, stop building guns, and start investing that money into people. And there's a whole slew of things, whether it's the healthcare program, whether it's the prison systems, the punishment that is being deemed out. How do we improve those prison systems? How do we improve our medical systems, the infrastructures that are down there, the traffic tie-ups and the problems? How do we do that? Well, in America, it's all tied to the profit motive. And what I'm saying is that that's fine, but you're already spending that money to build bombs. Why? Because the bomb lobby? Because the gun lobby is so great? Think about it for a moment, right? Where are our priorities? Now, I told you there was two things that I dreamt about, and the second one is kind of an interesting one. Because it was after we had a conversation the other day with our apostle team, and we were talking about the entire idea of, is Armadoxy truly capable of bringing about the change that we need in this world? Because the more and more we study it, and if you've been following the daily messages, you realize that Armadoxy is really the original Christianity, what we may call playfully OG Christianity. Yeah, we're the original gangster. We were there. We happen to be there. And we hold this as a truth that has been the cornerstone of survival of a people. Now, can we apply this to the earth, to the population of the earth, to other places? Let me give you a small example about forgiveness, about loving one another. It's a tough one, I know. But again, we're going to come, because I live here in the United States, this is where my examples come from. We've got two people now contending to become president of the United States. Joe Biden, who's the incumbent, and President Trump, who denied that, you know, he lost the election. He had to go through trial. He was just convicted of counts against, I forgot, 34 counts, felony counts, okay? First time a president, past president, has been convicted, and so on and so on and so on. You know the stuff, okay? That's not what I want to talk about. These are the two characters. How could this have all been avoided? I want you to just think before you say no and before you hit that stop button, okay? Yeah. Or if you want the on-off button, if you're listening on your radio right now. Yes, we can do an on-off button. Before you hit the off button, listen to me carefully, okay? When this whole thing began, when Trump, after he lost the election, came out and started denying it, and it was obvious that it was going to be taken in, for case, whether it was whether his trial was going to be done during this period of time or it was going to be done at some point in the future, that is still, you know, people are talking about it. But listen to this scenario. If the president, Biden, wanted to, he can pardon anybody. Can you imagine what would have happened if he just looked at Trump and he said, listen, you were a former president, I pardon you. Gerald Ford did that, by the way, to Richard Nixon. He pardoned him, a presidential pardon. It's your get out of jail free card, okay? Imagine if Biden, instead of him letting Trump get to him, if he just said, you're pardoned. It's over. So now there's no reason to go to court. There's no reason for name-calling. You've now won an ally. If that person doesn't want your pardon, then fine, let him go through the court sessions. But whatever happens, it's now a perfect moment for, I told you so. You could have had a pardon. Instead, you got 34 counts against you, right? And at the end of the day, who turns out to be the bigger person? Who walks away with something so great and an example for humanity? I think that would have been wild. And I could see it playing out. I could see it playing out in only a positive way, not in anything negative. Okay? Ormodoxy in action. For all of you who say that, okay, I'm just sitting here and I'm talking, I'm pontificating about a religion that may or may not work in the world. Think about it. And as I promised, we'll play a song. It'll give you a chance to think about it, okay? And we'll be back for some parting comments. Dreaming, that's what we've been talking about. Dreaming.
יקן מפתקר ערוץ ארטן גרקו גלחו אוריש צ'פמן אשחר יצר נונה יסק פסטי צ'דרצן רפס הרטוציום נרמס צ'ן הטפן קופת מוציאן מצ' יש צ'קן אם פת מוציאן מצ' דו צ'קס Iskune eis hishokutsune Artsyok tiezerkner megavore Anam yerkinke nor yerkri Kamel pakasnan tarneri Ukarote harazat chachi Paradoksesa Hamam martkain kan tsavum martkain Անբացատրելի, միշտ ձգտելու է, ձգվել դեպի այն, բայց չհասնել երբեք այն, ինչ չունենք. Պարադոքս է սա, համամարդկային կամ ցավամարդկային, անբացատրելի, միշտ ձգտելու է, ձգվել դեպի այն, բայց չհասնել երբեք այն, ինչ չունենք. Ապրեցինք մի քանի տարի Շոշափելով մութությունը Մենք այդպես էլ չգտանք քարոզ Արդյոք տիեզերքներ մեղավորը Թե անամբ երկինքը նոր երկրի Կամ էլ պակասն անտառների Կարոտը հարազատ ճաճի Պարադոքս է սա Համամարդկային կամ ցավամարդկային Անբացատրելի Ամիշտ ձգտելվել է Ձգվել դեպի արե Բայց չտեսնել երբեք Այն ինչ ունենք Պարադոքս է սա Համամարդկային կամ ցավամարդկային Անբացատրելի Միշտ ձգտել վերև, ձգվել դեպի արև, չէ հասնել երբեք, նրան կես ճանապարհ։ Պարադոքս է սա, համամարդկային կամ ցավամարդկային, անբացատրելի, միշտ ձգտել վերև, ձգվել դեպի արև, բայց չէ տեսնել երբեք, այն ինչ ունենք։ Պարադոքս է սա, համամարդկային Կամ ցավում արկային Անբացատրելի Միշտ ձգտել վերև Ձգվել դեպի արև Չէ հասնել երբեք Անալ կես ճանապարհի
The unmistakable voice and talent of Gor Mkhitaryan. Did you like that? That was called Paradox. It is off of the Passport album, an album which we produced, I think it must have been about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. It had its birth on a trip that we had done to Indianapolis, of all places. Yes, we were visiting, met with Gor, and I remember the tree under which we took a few photographs. and the idea for this album was born, Passport Paradox. Dan, did you think I was going to pick a song called Dream or Yeras? Actually, Gore has an album called Yeras, one of my favorites, especially because of the use of the banjo. Yeah, that's right. He uses a banjo in that song, in that album. Anyway, he's a remarkable talent. He always has been, and I just enjoy every time I play his music. I just love it. Anyway, I opted away from Yeras or themes of dream and went with the subject line of paradox, because I do feel like a lot of people believe that these are paradox, that you can somehow bring about peace through war, or that you can bring about an end to war through peace, through peaceful means, through forgiveness, through love. And, you know, that sounds absurd until you investigate it a little more and you realize that maybe there is something to it. And if enough of us can believe that, you know, these paradoxes become challenges for us to look at life and say that, yes, we can. We are human beings. I mean, we're communicating with people on the other side of the planet. We're communicating with extraterrestrial. Yes, we're sending out information as if we're going to find somebody out there, they're going to look at us and they're going to say, whoa, what an advanced civilization, if they saw what we sent out. But if they came over here and looked at the way we solve our problems, they might have a completely different idea of what we're about as humans. We have it within us to be able to communicate. We have it within us to find peace, to find alternatives to war. But we have to start dreaming and believing in it, believing in those dreams, believing that, yeah, it is a paradox, but it can happen. Thank you, Gore Mkhitaryan. Another great one. I'll have a link on today's show notes to all of the wonderful work that comes out of from that excellent musician.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazgen.
Well, that's going to wrap up our show today, and I'm thankful that you joined us. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting it together. It's an enjoyment because, you know, this is what we've got to do. As life moves us forward, we are charged with evangelizing, taking Christ's words and putting them to the test. Yes, there's nothing wrong with putting them to the test. And if you put them to the test, you find that they do work. They can lead to peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Sons of God. Children of God. That's it. Peace. It's the ultimate. It's what we're looking for. It's what we should be striving for. And that's what we've been doing. You know, it's going to be 16 years. We're going to be celebrating our... I always get it mixed up. We start our 17th year, but I believe we call it the 16th anniversary in just a couple weeks of doing the Next Step. And I want to thank all of you who have been very supportive of the Next Step through the years. And some of you do it on a regular basis. Some of you do it every so often. I've got a very special anniversary gift that I'm going to be sending out to you. Watch your mail. You'll be getting a small little gift from us, and it comes with all sincerity and all kinds of love, because you've helped us get this mission out. We'll be talking more and more about it in the coming days. You know, we do a daily podcast. It's called Armadoxy for Today. It's at epostle.net. We just hit the 12,000 mark. That's a big, it's a big number, not because 12,000 in itself is not a big number when it comes to podcasts, but here's the interesting thing. 68% of the people who are following us are coming to the website. Unbelievable, right? They're coming and downloading it, listening to it from the website. And that, to me, is a big, big number for us. We can only pray and ask that God bless us so that we can grow, hopefully exponentially. And we're going to be working towards that end. In the coming week, we have a meeting with our advisory board. And, you know, stay in tuned. If you don't get our newsletter, make sure you go on our website. Put your name and address in there. It's an email address, and you'll get our newsletter talking about all the events that are coming up. A couple weeks, we're going to have the summer solstice. And you know that I go crazy for these astronomical events. We're going to be having an outdoor event out at Griffith Park. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, do give us a buzz. Do send us a line. We'd love to have you join us. Okay, that does it. I want to invite you to the mothership, epostle.net. Day and night, we're open, and especially on the metaverse. See all kinds of stuff there, including an entire vast library of all of the next steps for over the last 16 years, along with videos and just about everything else, okay? Things related to Armadoxy. Hey, that does it for today. On behalf of my producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanded universe.
Forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.